Hi everyone, today's Perek Ram is the first, the beginning Perek of Hilchot Mila, which is the final section in all of Sefer Ava. It's only three prakim long, not a very long section, but one of the most important. It deals with one of the most important mitzvot of all the mitzvot, one of the two positive commands which carries with it a punishment of kares if you don't properly do it, and that is the Bris Mila. Let us begin with Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Mila mitzvot asei shechaim alei kares. Mila is one of the positive commands which, if one fails to do it, they are obligated to be excised. The obligation is on the father to circumcise his child, his son, and a master to circumcise his slaves. As the pasuk tells us, with regards to the fact that a true Eved Kenani, one who's owned, whether it was bought or born into captivity by another Jew, so then this Eved Kenani has a quasi-Jewish status and requires a bris milah, and the master is obligated to give this slave a bris milah. Avar av o adon, if the father or the master fails to do so, velo malo son, and he doesn't do the circumcision, bito mitzvah saseh, he has nullified this positive command, ve'enu chayv kares, but he is not obligated to receive excision. She'ena kares toloi el b'aro asmo, since the kares actually depends on the one who is still uncircumcised himself, the son or the eved, respectively. Based in mitzuvim lemolo soa bein o eved bismano, and based in is obligated to ensure that this child, this servant, gets circumcised in the proper time. V'lo arel b'Yisrael v'lo b'dehen, and they shouldn't leave amongst the bnei Yisrael or their slaves anybody who's uncircumcised. Halacha beis, ein malin b'no she'adam shlomi daito. You do not circumcise the child of a person without his knowledge. Elam kain avar v'nimna l'mulo, she based in malin oso bal karcho. Unless the individual is being recalcitrant and is refusing to do the bris milah, so then it's up to Beis Din, and Beis Din is supposed to do so against this individual's will. It's only Beis Din. If Beis Din is unaware of this situation, v'lo maloso, and they hadn't circumcised this child, this slave, kishe yigdal hu chayav lamol es atzmo, when he reaches the appropriate age, when he grows up, and with the case of the Eved, seemingly once he has the wherewithal to do so, he is obligated to circumcise himself. And every day that passes that he has reached this age and has not circumcised himself, so then he's nullified this positive command. However, he is not obligated in excision until he dies while he was still intentionally an uncircumcised individual. Echad Eved Shenola Bershus Israel, whether it was an Eved who was born into Jewish ownership, Ve'echad Eved Hanokach Min HaGoyim, or whether it was an Eved who was purchased from non-Jews, Chayav HaRav L'Molosan, so the master is obligated to circumcise him. Elishi Yilid Bayis Nimo L'Shmona, what's the difference? One which was born into captivity gets circumcised on the eighth day, just as a regular Jewish baby would. V'naskasach Nimo B'yom Shenokach, and one who was purchased from the outside is circumcised on the very day that he was bought. Even if you purchase him on the day that he was born, nonetheless, you still circumcise him on day one of his life. However, there are circumstances where somebody was an outside purchase that will nonetheless be circumcised on day eight, and there will be one that's born into captivity that will be circumcised on the day that he was born. How is that so? Lokach shivcha, lokach ubara ima. If you purchase a maidservant and you purchase the unborn fetus that she's pregnant with along with her, the yolda, and then she gives birth, harizan nimo lishmona, so then he gets circumcised on day eight, because though he was purchased, he still will qualify as one which will demand that which is required by one which is born into captivity. Vaval pisha lokach uber b'fnei atzmo, even though you purchased this fetus all on its own, nonetheless, varia uber atzmo miknas kesef, and you would say that the uber itself is still going to qualify as having been purchased from the outside. Ho v'kana imo kodim shenolad, since you ultimately bought the mother before the child was born, nimo l'shmona, so he gets his bris milah on the eighth day. Halacha hei, lokach shivcha lu bareha, if you purchase a maidservant, not her herself, but her for the rights to her as of yet unborn children, or you purchase a maidservant with the intent that you're not going to have her immersed in the mikvah for the purposes of being a maidservant, so even though the child is born in his domain, nonetheless, he is going to get circumcised, this now born child, on the day that he was born. Because this type of child is viewed as if he was purchased all on his own, and therefore it's as if you bought him today, and therefore you circumcise him on that day. Since the mother is not under the rubric of the maidservants amongst the Bnei Israel, since she was designated specifically not to be, in order so that the child should then count as one born into captivity. And if the mother then immerses after she gives birth, so in that case, then the child will still be circumcised on the eighth day, because we still view it big adol in the larger, broader perspective as being one, which is Yilid Bayis then. If you purchased an adult Eved from a non-Jew, and the Eved does not want to have a circumcision, we deal with him, we try to convince him to do so, we allow him to do this for 12 months, but we try to push him to. Yes, okay, but more than that, then it's forbidden to have him around, to keep him around as an uncircumcised individual. Instead, you don't force it upon him, you go and you sell him to a non-Jew. However, if you had initially stipulated, while he was still owned by his non-Jewish master initially, that you're not going to circumcise him, so then you're allowed to keep him by you uncircumcised. However, it is obligatory that he accept upon himself the seven mitzvot of Noach, the seven Noahide laws, and then he'll have the status of a resident alien, somebody who's allowed to live amongst the Bnei Israel as a non-Jew, assuming he's kept these mitzvos. Avim lo kibbal shav mitzvos, yiharig miyat. However, if he refuses to accept upon himself these shav mitzvos bnei Noach, so then he's immediately killed, because they are obligated to be punished for not fulfilling these mitzvos. Veim kabim ger toshav el bizman shayobo nohi. And just in general, Rambam tells us an important halacha, that we only accept somebody with the official verified status of a resident alien in a time when Yovel, the Jubilee year, the 50th year, when slaves would go free and other halachos, was relevant, and it's no longer relevant. Halacha Zayin. Gershin nechnas l'kal Yisrael chayav mila tchila. When a person becomes a convert who enters into Klal Yisrael, he's obligated to immediately and first receive a bris mila. V'im mal kishaya obey kachavim. And if he had already had a circumcision while he was a non-Jew, irrelevant to the fact that he wants to be a Jew now. He was born and his parents decided to give him a circumcision. So then he technically has a circumcision. So how do you recircumcise him? So the answer is you draw a little bit of blood from that spot on the day that he converts. And similarly, a child who's born already circumcised. So on the eighth day, so then we draw a little bit of blood from him, and that will qualify as a bris milah for him. Androgynous, with regards to somebody who has both genders, meaning to say he has both features of either gender, so then you have to circumcise the male part of him, obviously, on the eighth day. And similarly, a cesarean section, and somebody who also has two foreskins, we'll circumcise this C-section, or somebody who has two foreskins, both of them, on the eighth day. We only do a circumcision, a bris milah, only after the day has hit the stage where there's daybreak, the earliest stage of day. Whether or not we're dealing with the eighth day, which is its ideal time, or the ninth day and on, which is its less ideal time, it's specifically on the eighth day, the day that you have this, and not at night. If you then did the circumcision after this state of alos, so then it is valid. And in fact, the whole day is technically valid for doing a bris milah, as long as it's not during the night. Nonetheless, there still is positive value to do it earlier in the day, since those that are assiduous about doing their mitzvos, they take them seriously, they're eager to do mitzvos, so then they make sure to do them quick. Halacha tes. Mila is mana dochas shabbos. When you're dealing with a bris mila, which is in its proper time, i.e. on the eighth day, so that is able to push aside the command not to do malacha on Shabbos, which this would entail. Veshlobizman, if it's not in its eighth day, its ideal time, eino docha loas Shabbos v'loz yontif. It does not push aside Shabbos or yontif, and we would just wait longer. Umebizmana, veshlobizmana, dochas tzaras. And whether or not it's in its proper time, or whether it's not in its proper time, it's able to push away tzaras, meaning to say there's a negative command to cut off tzaras that somebody has on their body. Let's say somebody has tzaras on that part of their body, the foreskin, which will now technically be removed and technically be in violation of this negative command to not remove that that lesion. So what is one supposed to do? The halacha is whether it's in its right time or whether it's not in its right time, nonetheless, it pushes off tzaras and you're allowed to remove it. Ketzad, so the Rambam illustration, if somebody had a particular type of tsaras lesion on the skin of his foreskin, so then you cut it off along with the foreskin. Even though there's negative prohibition against removing one of the afflictions of tsaras, nonetheless, this is the famous rule of a positive command being able to come and knock aside, in a case where you can't do both of them, knock aside a negative command. Just as the circumcision of a son, a regular Jewish son, is able to push away the prohibition of doing malacha on Shabbos, the same thing is true with regards to an Eved who's supposed to be circumcised on the 8th day, i.e. Yilid Bais that we had seen earlier. So that will also push away Shabbos. Chutz Milid Bais Shelo Tavla Imo Ad Yolda, except for the type of case we had earlier, one who was born in captivity, but his mother hadn't immersed in the mikvah until after she had given birth to him. Even though in that case he is going to be circumcised on the 8th day, nonetheless, in that unique case, he does not have his circumcision push off Shabbos. If you have a child who is born already circumcised, and somebody who's born after 8 months of pregnancy, before he's been properly fully developed, and he's therefore considered, unfortunately, like a stillborn, he's not expected to live. Viyote dofan, and also a C-section, androgynous, and somebody who we saw beforehand has both sides of genders. Umishi yishlo shtei aros, and somebody who has two different foreskins. Ein dochan es a Shabbos, these ones, all of these cases, do not push aside Shabbos in order to do their milah. Elin imulin ve'echab Shabbos, rather, they'll have their bris on the first day of the next week, on Sunday, shu yom chi shalahen, which is their 9th day. If somebody was born during twilight hours, and it's not clear whether it was during the day or whether it was during the night, we count from that night. Better to err on the side of caution, and we go later rather than earlier, which wouldn't count for anything. We do it later, which technically counts, though it's not his ideal time, and we circumcise him on what is the 9th day, which might be the 8th day. Vim nolad Erev Shabbos, and if he was born on Erev Shabbos, Bena Shmashos, during that Bena Shmashos time, Eno Dochas Shabbos, so then he's not able to push aside Shabbos, that upcoming Shabbos, and then Nemo Be'achab Shabbos. Instead, he adds his Bris Mila on the first day of Shabbos the following week, the next Sunday. Shein Dochan at the Shabbos Misafik, since you don't push off Shabbos, out of doubt. Halacha Yud Gimel. Somebody was born in the 8th month of the pregnancy. If he seems to have his proper hair and his nails, so then he counts as a fully regular child. And really, we think that he was after 7 months of pregnancy, but it just was delayed for some reason in terms of his coming out. And he's considered a regular child. It's not, again, somebody who we consider Rahman al-Atlan to be like a stillborn, though he still is alive, because we expect him to die. No, he's not like a rock. He's assumed to be like a regular child and to be carried on Shabbos. Umalim sobe Shabbos, and you can similarly give him his circumcision on Shabbos when it falls out that way. However, if he's born and his hair is afflicted in a certain way, it's not considered normal hair. And his fingernails are not fully developed. So then in that case, we say he's been for sure there for only 8 months, not 7, not 9. That he really was supposed to be born in the 9th month. And he came out before he was fully developed. And therefore, unfortunately, he's viewed as a stone. It's forbidden to move him on Shabbos. And nonetheless, even if this is the case, if it's been around for 30 days, then we assume that somehow our calculations were off, and this is a child which is a viable child. He's going to continue to live. And he's then viewed at that point as a regular child for all purposes. Because any human being that's been alive for 30 days is not considered to have been a stillborn. It's not that it was a non-viable birth. If somebody was born to the 7th month of the pregnancy, if he's born in a complete form, then we assume he's a regular child, and then we would push off Shabbos in order to give him his circumcision. Savik ben Shiva, Savik ben Shmona, if it's unclear whether it's been after 7 months or 8 months of pregnancy, Malin also b'Shabbos al kapanim. Nonetheless, we'll still circumcise him on Shabbos. Im ben Shiva hu v'shalim hu, b'din hu sheyitcha Shabbos. If he is after 7 months and he's fully healthy, fully viable birth, so then it makes sense logically that it should push off Shabbos. Im ben Shmona hu, and if he is, in fact, after having been in utero for only 8 months, then it's not actually like doing a bris milah. It's as if you just cut already something which is considered meat. Since he's defined as a stillborn, again, Rahman al-Atslan, and if he was actually after only 8 months. So you're just as if you're cutting meat, though that sounds very harsh. It's not the same as actually doing a circumcision, and therefore is permitted. Halacha says vav. Hotzia uber rosho chutz me'imo bein hashmashos. If the child sticks his head out from his mother's womb during twilight, afal bisha lo yatza kulo el b'leil Shabbos, even though most of him has only come out afterwards once it's already Shabbos, ein manos lo b'Shabbos. So in that case, we do not circumcise him on Shabbos. V'chol mi she'eino dochas Shabbos, eino dochas Yom Tov, and anybody who's not going to push aside Shabbos also doesn't push aside Yom Tov, v'dochas Yom Tov sheni. But that's true with regards to Yom Tov Rishon, the actual Daraisa day, but it does not have that same significance on the day of what we call Yom Tov sheni Shel Galios, the second day, which is just Minga of Sinba Yadenu, and therefore it would push away Yom Tov Sheni. It was Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. However, with regards to the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, those 2 days, Eino Dov Lo Az Rishon Lo Az Sheni. It doesn't push aside the first day nor the second day. V'chein Mila Shelo Bismana, and similarly, also a circumcision which is not in its ideal time, i.e., not on the eighth day, Eino Dov Has Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. That too will not push aside either one of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Halacha Tez Zayin. If a person is sick, so we don't circumcise him until he heals. And not only that, we wait 7 days of 24-hour periods, like 7 full days from the time where his illness has stopped, and then we can do the circumcision. We are cautious with our doing the circumcision. But we're one, is that true? If somebody has become sick because of the fact that it was from some high fever or the like. However, if it had to do with pain in his eyes, so then once his eyes get better, he's able to see again, they're totally healed, so then we can do the circumcision immediately. We don't have to wait that 7-day period. And so too with anything along these lines. If you have a child who on his 8th day seems very, very green, we do not circumcise him. Ashi yipopo dam, until the blood goes out from him, v'yachsiru marav k'mar haktanam abriyah, until he looks like a normal, healthy child. V'chein im haya adom biyoser, and similarly, if he was very red, k'mishat sevo so, as if somebody had dyed him. Ein manal so, ashi bale bo dama, we wait until he has had his blood properly absorbed in his body, v'yachsiru marav k'shar haktanam, and we wait until he looks normal again, just like every other child, because this is considered to be an illness. And that's what I was saying beforehand. You have to be very, very careful with all these matters. As much as we want to do the mitzvah in the proper time, we also have to be very, very careful with regards to the sakana. A woman who circumcised her first child, and then the child died because the circumcision ended up weakening his strength. V'chein mala es hasheni, and then she circumcised her second child, umeis machmas mila, and again the child died because of the mila. Baby mila harishon, baby mila hasheni, whether this was from her first husband, whether this was from her second husband, harizah lo yamal es hashlishi bismana. So then, her third child, you will not circumcise in its proper time. Ela mamtinen lo ad sheyagdil v'yischazik kocho. Rather, we wait until he gets older and he's stronger, and then we will give him a bris. Ein mullin ela vlad she'ein bo shum choli. And in fact, we don't circumcise a child unless he's absolutely healthy, that has no illness whatsoever. Shezakonis nefashos docha es hakol. Very important for these times. The matters of life and death, danger to life, is going to push aside everything. The efshel mul achers man. It's always possible that you can do the bris mila at some later time. Ve'e efshel hafzer nefesh achas mi'Yisrael olam. And it's never going to be possible to bring back a lost life from the Bnei Yisrael. So we are very, very cautious. We're very, very careful not to come to any Rachmana Litzlan sakanas nefashos situations, and we will wait. Better to wait and not do the mila in its ideal time than to chas v'shalom cause the loss of life amongst Klal Yisrael. Have a fantastic day, everyone.